I probably should have asked for prayers for this afternoon because there's going to be a lot of food at the Super Bowl parties. And I usually end up miserable by about halftime. But hope you all have a joyous afternoon. But this morning we are going to be doing the second of three sermons in this little short sermon series ahead of Lent called Let's Get Started. And in this series, we are looking at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And when we left the Advent story, Jesus was 12 years old. Mary and Joseph had lost Jesus, and they find him days later teaching in the temple. And the last we know about Jesus and his youth is this verse from Luke 2:52. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, while we don't know anything about Jesus between the age of 12 and the start of his ministry, there are a few things we do know. As we learned last week, it was John the Baptist who was called to prepare the way for him. John chapter 1:23 says, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. And we do know how old Jesus was from Luke chapter 3, verse 23, or Luke 3:23. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. Now, while we do know Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, we do not know what happened to Jesus for the last 18 years. Why did God wait so long for Jesus to officially begin his ministry? Did Jesus just live in his mom's basement? Was Mary out there going, can you get a job? Go see your cousin John. He's got some work going on down by the river. Or was he gainfully employed as a carpenter working with his dad? I can only imagine he was one heck of a carpenter. Most carpenters have that rule, you know, measure twice and cut once. I found out for me that's not for accuracy. It's because I forgot the measurement on the way to the saw. I always have to go back and measure twice. But I wonder, did even Jesus even have to measure once? You know, he looks at the opening and goes, perfect cut. Would you imagine working with that guy? Would that get annoying? And we also don't know what happened to Joseph, his father. Mary and even his siblings of Jesus are mentioned several times in the scriptures. But there is nothing to indicate that Joseph is still alive when Jesus begins his ministry. But back to what we do know that Jesus went to John for a purpose. Matthew 3, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And what happens next is an interesting exchange between Jesus and John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And after that, John consented, and he baptized Jesus. John knew Jesus was the Messiah. He knew Jesus was the Son of God, and John felt unworthy. But Jesus tells John, look, we both have a calling, and we both need to live it out. You were called to prepare the way for me. You were called to baptize me. So let's do it. Jesus needed to be baptized, and it was John's calling to do so. And the scripture continues in Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened up. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You see, when we are obedient to God, it's amazing how he shows up. When God calls us to do something and we are obedient, God always delivers. And this is a promise that Jesus himself makes. on the night that he was sharing the Last Supper, John 14, verse 12. He said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Do you see how obedient works? When we are obedient, God shows up and empowers us by the Holy Spirit. When, the key word, when we are obedient, God shows up and empowers us by the Holy Spirit. In the scripture, Jesus says, "You're going to do the same miracles I've been doing and even some greater ones. But you need to follow and be obedient, and I will send you the Holy Spirit." After Jesus had risen from the grave, he spent 40 days with his disciples, and the scriptures tell us this from Acts 1. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." And the disciples were obedient and did what Jesus had told them. And then we read in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And do you see the word all? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's obedient to God, everyone who seeks God's will, everyone who is a follower of Christ is given the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we see they did great things. Jumping down to verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." Through the Holy Spirit, the followers of Christ were able to do more through the Holy Spirit than they could ever do on their own. Through the Holy Spirit, all of us are given gifts to do things greater than we could do on our own. And Paul talks about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Excuse me. Verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." To each one. To all obedient followers, God empowers us to do greater things. We must realize to be, when we are fully obedient, then we will realize the gifts that God has for us. Now, we're not all given the same gifts, but our gifts are designed to work together. Paul describes the church as the body of Christ, and that body, each of us are to work together. Our gifts are intended to work together. And I want each of you to understand that God has a purpose and a power waiting for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It means God set the stage. He sent us the Holy Spirit. He prepared in advance by sending the Holy Spirit, by sending us Jesus Christ. And think about all of us, each and every one of us, regardless of age, regardless of education, regardless of our natural abilities, all of us, it means you and you and you, and you, and you, and you. You are God's handiwork. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And for those who are obedient to Christ, to those who follow God's will and God's ways, God will empower you with the Holy Spirit to do and accomplish many signs and wonders as a part of God's church. God has been at work in my life for a long time. God took a young man who stuttered. God took a young man who went astray in college and turned his life around, and he stands before you today. And through the Holy Spirit, I know God is working on many of you. Some of you have surrendered to the call, and I see the Holy Spirit working. I feel the Holy Spirit working in you. But some of you have not surrendered your life to Christ. Some of you are not claiming the power Jesus has promised us. And I want you to know this from Scripture. James chapter 4, 17 says, "If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." For those of you who are just showing up, for those of you who are not actively participating in the life of the church, for those of you who are not obedient, the Scripture says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." We are to be an obedient church. We are supposed to come here and worship together, to be equipped, to be empowered, to go and do God's work. But some of you are about as good as this lampstand is right now. This is a good-looking lampstand. It's better than the one I got in my garage. There's no dirt. There's no paint stains on it. No sawdust on it. It looks really good. And some of you have all the right features. You look really good when you come to church. You're nice. You're personable. You smile. You put money in the offering plate. But you come here and you've got this. And you leave it right there. You're not plugged in. You're not plugged in. Does this have any power on its own? Can this do any good on its own? It's got a light bulb. It's got a transformer. It's got a switch. The switch is on. Is it any good? Folks, we got to get plugged into the Holy Spirit. We got to be plugged into what God wants us to be. Folks, we have to be obedient. Trust me, one light can make a difference. Ask the people that watch online. This light makes a difference. You can make a difference. But we have to be obedient. We have to be plugged in to the Holy Spirit. And if we don't, it's a sin. There are no halfway Christians. There is no retired Christians. There are no, "I'm just writing my final years out." Because as long as God has given you breath, God has a purpose for you. We need to fully trust in what God has promised us. And I've told you from day one over the last 5 years since I've been here, when we surrender to Christ, when we become obedient, when we claim our faith and invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, God will show up and do great things. Right now, at Asbury Seminary in Kentucky, they are experiencing a revival that started off as a Wednesday night chapel service and went for over 80 consecutive hours
worshiping and praising God. People are confessing sins and experiencing transformation through forgiveness. People are being healed. People are being refreshed and renewed. People are being empowered in ways that are beyond our words. And I want you to know that here and now, there is nothing that God cannot accomplish through us if we would only fully surrender to Christ and claim the power of the Holy Spirit. And whatever your situation is, whatever you have done, if you truly surrender to Christ, God will forgive you. God will redeem you. And if you remain obedient to God, He will empower you. God is already at work in our church. There are people that He's moving and working on. And it needs to catch on fire here. Because I don't know about you, but I want to see God do great things in this church. The question is, do you believe? I think God wants us to have a revival. Do you believe? God wants us to be a transforming presence in this community. Do you believe? And we're going to spend a few moments in prayer. And then for our final hymn, we're going to sing all four verses of the hymn. And then I'm going to ask that if anyone feels led, and you might feel uncomfortable, and it may be strange for you, but those who were ready to surrender, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come forward and say, God, I am here for you. I am ready for your power. I am ready for this church to explode. If you need forgiveness, come and pray. If you're ready to surrender, come and pray. If you want revival, come and pray. There's nothing to be ashamed of because you're not coming before us. You're coming before God. And Jesus said, whoever's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when He comes in His glory and in the glory of the Father, the Holy Spirit. We do not need to be ashamed. This moment isn't about what other people think. This moment is between you and God. This moment is for you to say yes to God. This is a moment to feel His love, to feel His presence, and receive His power. And now I'm going to pray, and at the conclusion of our prayer, we're going to sing our closing hymn, number 462, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And the question is, do you trust in Jesus? Are you willing to take that next step of faith to say, God, I surrender. I need you and I need your power. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I know what we are talking about and what we are asking for is out of the norm for some. And I know it may seem awkward or strange or even foreign. And there are some people that are fighting it. There are some people who are rejecting it. But Lord, I know there are people today that you are working on. Lord, I know there are people today that your Holy Spirit are just absolutely speaking to. And Lord, may we be fully open to the presence of your Holy Spirit. May His power just overwhelm us today. May we see where we have fallen short. May we see where we have lacked our obedience. May we see where we have committed our sins. And may we come to you in full repentance. Because we know you are a loving and just God, and you forgive those who fully repent to you. And Lord, let us not just be a church that just is here to be here. Let us be a church that goes and loves and do. And Lord, we are already seeing your mighty handiwork. We are seeing people grow. We are seeing people do. We are seeing people volunteer. And Lord, we got great things coming this summer. And Lord, we ask your hand of mercy on all the things that we have planned and all the things that we're doing. Lord, we ask you to bless our class meeting. Lord, we ask you to bless the VBS. We ask you to continue to bless and grow our Sunday school. Lord, we just see visitors and we see people coming and we see you doing things in our midst. And it is because of the obedience of those who are willing to surrender to you. And Lord, let it continue to grow in our church. Let it be something new, refreshing, and revival in this church. Let us no longer just be a church on the hill, but let us be that church that's alive on the hill. Let people start talking about what we're doing because we are doing your work. Not for our glory, Lord, but for yours. And Lord, as we come together for this hymn, Lord, let us lead people to your altar. Let people come to pray at your feet. And Lord, let us surrender wholly and fully to you. And let us experience the transforming power that comes from being your obedient servants. Lord, this is our prayer. Hear our prayer through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer now. And Lord, I know the Holy Spirit is working among people here today. Lord, there are people here who do not understand or maybe don't know what is going on. But Lord, for those who feel your presence, may it be overwhelming. Lord, it is too often that we fail to call on you and we do things on our own. But Lord, I don't know about anybody else here. I am weak. But I know you are strong. Lord, this church is supposed to do mighty and great things. Those are the words that you have given to me, and these are the words that I am giving to your people. But they are just words unless we act obediently. They are words unless we accept your power. And they are words until we enact your power. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to lift this church up, to lead us and guide us as your congregation, to make us firm believers in your word, to allow us to take a firm stance for your truth. Allow us to proclaim the forgiveness and the love of a great God who sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to provide us with eternal life. Lord, lead us and guide us. Bless us and keep us in all things. As we leave here today, allow your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, to remind us each day of the word you have proclaimed. This is my prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.